Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It is Season 5, Episode 20, and we are almost to the end of the regular season. I guess technically this is probably our last regular season podcast, yep. Because the next one will probably be after the games. But we are here to talk about a couple more games. One close one, one not so close one. And we'll sprinkle in a little happy Loyola news. It's a full Loyola news. So that's what we're going to do on this one. We'll save our tournament breakdown or tournament predictions and all that kind of stuff for next week. It'll probably come out a little sooner than our usual like Monday night, Tuesday morning type thing, just because we want to give you all enough time to listen to that. So we're still trying to finalize it, but probably sometime during the weekend, mm-hmm. we'll be able to put that one out. Lou, how's the last week gone? I don't know if they saved a rafter spot for you at however the hell you pronounce SLU Stadium. What is it, Chivitz or Chevitz?
I thought it was Sheets, like the gas station that you can get. I thought it was Sheets for literally. I kept thinking it was Sheets, and then yes, I think it's Chevitz, or I might call it Cheez-Its. Who knows?
I like it. Wawa's better than Sheets anyway.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay.
I've just upset half of the East Coast people.
Who knows? Besides the mind-boggling event that is the SLU game, I got sick, and I'm not only sick of a certain offensive play we have, but got sick. I don't know if it made me try to beat me down after this season, but yeah, a tough one to swallow. But again, hey, things are interesting. I definitely disagree with a few things Drew's doing. Just nothing against him. It's just like the time and place of things. But there are definitely some things to be happy about, right? But again, it's a tough season. We're not going to be fully a Catholic podcast and resurrect anything right now. We're just going to be a basketball podcast and talk about the obvious. And the obvious is we're having a tough season. And there's a lot to look forward to, though. But, yeah, I think two games were very interesting. But, Buck, I think we might have something a little bit brighter note to talk about maybe first.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into the two games and the other brighter note when we return from our break. So, thank you for listening. And don't forget, always remember, go Blairs.
He passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. So let's start with the good stuff. Our good old pal, Sister Jean, is in the news again for very good reason. She is releasing, or I guess probably by the time all of you hear this, she has released her book, which is coming out tomorrow morning, with Seth Davis, I believe.
He did the foreword, yep.
Yes, he did the foreword, and it is called, I'm pulling it up, Wake Up with Purpose, What I've Learned in My First 100 Years. I laughed. There was a great interview with her on Good Morning America today. One of my favorite parts was that the reporter, newscaster, said that they couldn't confirm it, but they were pretty confident that this might be she, that Sister Jean might be the oldest person to publish a book. Which, like, I was like, oh, I mean, you know, that's really impressive. I would have thought that maybe someone over 100 would have published a book before, but I just thought that was a cool thing. Great interview. It was obvious that Sister's still with it. She still got her quick wit and basketball thoughts. Lou, I don't know if you had any thoughts on the Sister Jean book release or GMA interview or anything else.
Yeah, I think this is just, again, goes to show Final Four really made a big splash, not only with our program, but just with the school. Being from the East Coast, the only real Loyola people knew about was Loyola Maryland. And now people can't go another day without being like, ooh, Sister Jean. If that's the one main thing people are going to remember that who aren't not students of Loyola, I'm totally happy with that, right? It's a really great thing to have, as she was quoted. She became an international superstar. So really great. I think it's really cool that we kind of can, I guess you can say, share with the nation. So yeah, I'm excited to read a book. I sadly have not read a book by another former member of part of that Final Four team. So this will be probably the first book of a Loyola member that I read about, but I'll be excited. Yeah. Again, you said it best though. She is very still like witty, very humorous. And again, the queen of the selfie, as the broadcaster mm-hmm. like to say, which I think is very, very, very true. So yeah.
Yeah, I think another thing that I've enjoyed about this like success or not, you know, notoriety is people sharing stories about Sister Jean. And I love that sometimes people just have like short interactions with her, but they're very, very important and very weighty, you know, or whatever, or serious. I saw one today from a fan who was sharing that she's just been like instrumental with, they have a son that it has, I think, autism or maybe Down syndrome, but that Sister Jean was like very sweet with them and like gave them like a great, I don't know, encouraging thoughts. And it just goes to show, I mean, like I've had a few interactions with her in the past as a student, and she does truly does care. Like, it's not, she's not one of those people that you just see like, oh, she's on the news, like, oh, great for her. Like, no, she does. She puts in the work, she puts in the time, and she cares about everyone and just wants to be a good person. And they asked her, like, you know, what do you want to be known for? And the first thing she said was that she wanted to be known for, I think she said, her love of God, or like her living God's mission or something to that effect. And then the second thing was that she just wanted to be there for other people. So just a great, great woman, and we're super happy for her. But I actually, no, you tell the joke, because we were talking about this beforehand. So you go ahead if you want to tell the joke about what we're going to start as the podcast, maybe for the off season.
Oh yeah, this, if anyone else, I'm talking to you, loyal alumni of even Porter's years. We did have an amazing member of like a walk-on talk about it, but I'd love to see a book written by you. But yeah, I think we're going to start our own book club and read Sister Jean's book. A book club right now of two,
yes.
Probably Buck and I, maybe a little light reading before the tournament, right? Mm-hmm. That might not be a bad idea. Get in some reading, some X's and O's. You know, Sister Jean is not too, she's very aware of the game. So she doesn't shy away. So I'm be very excited, to read the book. And again, I think I just love, honestly, the little side notes. Like, my first 100 years, like, she's surpassed 100.
Right.
And she still has been like, I got 100 years. And it's like, not many people can say that. So, yeah. I think, again, one of her famous quotes, work, worship, win. I think it was a big deal at Loyola and a big thing about what the school embodies. So, yeah, very happy that, again, we get to see her words and that people can read about it. So, yeah.
I'm very much looking forward to the sequel, which will be my second 100 years. So very much looking forward to that when it comes out.
Oh, yeah, her and Walt Disney, Frozen, right? They're going to be – yeah, that's
2120.
Bring her back for the net.
That's when, yeah, the next
when we win our – when we win one of our – we're going to win many national championships in the next 100 years, but mm-hmm. when we win our – one of our ones is going to be 2063, of course, just naturally.
It's got to be. Yeah, for sure. Good point.
It's got to be, right? Yeah. So we'll see Sister Jean there, of course. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. But yeah, we just wanted to bring that up, and it's a great thing, and we're excited to celebrate Sister Gina any chance we get. So, on to the basketball. So Loyola had their second to last home game. They welcomed in the Fordham Rams, who I feel like I should have to do some sort of like punishment because I'm.
Oh yeah, I can apologize right now. Yeah,
yeah.
I called it a fairy tale,
a sham. I think we said they're phonies. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we said.
Yep. I think my my own sister, for context, is an alumni, and I think I I said your team looks like a joke because, but yeah, no, joke's on us, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, the egg is on our face for sure, because they basically have the spot that we thought we were going to have, which is that like third to fourth range.
The exact spot. That's the thing I think that's kind of more sour in my mouth. they have pretty much the exact position I was hoping for, I think, this year for us, if we're going to be honest, right? So,
yeah, I thought maybe we could figure out a way to steal this game. And, you know, quite honestly, we almost did. There were times in which it felt like maybe we could pull away, grab a lead. But this was just very much your traditional kind of back and forth game. I think I read there was 11 lead changes, I think I saw, or ties, like lead changes and ties, something like that. But just it was a good game. It was. Did you find it?
Yeah, I think it was about a 14.
14. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
14.
It was a good game. It was just unfortunately the result didn't go the way we wanted, but just kind of subjectively, like, a good game that was played pretty well. Not too many turnovers, especially for one team that is known for making turnovers. It wasn't too messy of a game. The shooting percentages weren't stellar on either side. But I thought that the defense was pretty good on both sides, and it was a good atmosphere. I thought Gentile, for being like a Wednesday night, I thought the student section was great. As more fans kind of showed up, especially for an 8 o'clock game, I thought it got pretty exciting in there, pretty loud. I think we started off on a pretty good note, where we were getting some real easy buckets. In particular, Benny had two big dunks in the first like 4 minutes of the game, and I think Phil had a dunk too, and like someone else. There was like four dunks in the first like 8 minutes or something. I think really early on, we just kind of realized there's a few missed threes, and that felt like the reason why maybe we weren't winning by more. And then as the game went on, it felt like the reason we weren't closer in the game, which is just unfortunate, especially from some of the guys who we've kind of come to know to hit them. Ben was 0-for-5, and I'm pretty sure all five of his threes were pretty wide open. Braden, 0-for-3 from three. His were somewhat open. They don't sag too far off of him, but still, we know him to hit tough shots. The only guy that Phil hit one, and then the only other guy who hit a three was Sheldon Edwards, who came off the bench later in the game. Hit two. Actually, he did hit one in the first half. It was an important three. It was a fast break three, and then hit two more later in the game. It was a fun game. I thought personally, I wasn't really expecting much. Like I said, I thought maybe they could steal it, but I wasn't really confident that they were going to go in there and like win by double digits or anything. Phil had a traditional great Phil game. 19 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, a steal, and a block. Only one turnover for him, which is huge. Efficient shooting night too. 6-for-9 from the floor. Hit his only 3-pointer he took. 6-for-10 from the free throw line, which is not great. It's not terrible. It's not. That wasn't the reason why we lost the game, in my opinion, is his 6-for-10. He gave so much value in other places that, you take that and hope someone else can pick him up and maybe have a great shooting night from the free throw line. Otherwise, I thought, besides Ben's 3-point shooting, I thought he had a great game. And it's tough to overlook an 0-for-5 shooting night from three, but did finish with 11 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. Was 5-for-7 from the free throw line, which is pretty okay for him. And I know he would like to see that number a little better, but I thought he had a really great game if you take out the 3-point shooting. But I know you can't do that. So, I don't know what kind of stuck out to you, Lou. Anything I haven't mentioned, or if you want to talk about the guys I've kind of already talked about, feel free.
Yeah, I think just overall, 3-point shooting is probably going to be the main theme potentially, right? That we could say. I guess also, yeah, the charity line, right? Like we went to the line 29 times in that game, and so did Fordham. A lot of, I think, bad ticky-tack fouls on both ends. So far, I noticed this year a lot of fouls were being called. Again, another game where two technicals are called. I think this might be in a third or fourth game so far this year, which is pretty kind of ridiculous. I think we've never – I don't personally think in recent memory we've had that many games with that many kind of double technicals called.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing for me was honestly just the defensive side of things, right? So Fordham actually – shot, what, 33% in the first half, and we only were up by one, yep. But we shot 50%, and then second half flipped the script. They shot 50%, we shot 36. So it's that kind of flip of the script. Now, overall in the game, we had 43% from field goal, yet only 23 from three. So that's just kind of it, right? That's kind of the thick of it, right? Then now they win by two, right? They get two more free throws made compared to us, right? So they are 72% from free throw, and we're 65%. So again, I think this game isn't based off one shot, one possession. I think it's a culmination of little things that were kind of strung together. And for me, it's really apparent that, like, you do the little things right, and I think things change. I think that's something that we've noticed with this team. It's like there are so many great spurts, but it's those little things. And for me, it's like, again, like you said, Ben might not have had a great game off offensively, from efficiency, right? 11 points is still great. But maybe it gets two steals, right? Like, that's not something I really see off Ben. I think he was very aggressive defensively, right? Mm-hmm. Which is great to see. Braden, tough night. And, like, there's no way to put it. He tried to make the assist with five assists. I think that's a great effort, without a doubt. I think, though, it's really tough. And, again, I had nothing on Braden. It's just I had fans behind me who, in my opinion, know really nothing about the game, about this season. They very seemed caring about Loyola basketball, but they kept asking each other questions. What about this guy? Who's this guy? And I was like, just open a program. But, yeah, Braden just had a tough night. So, yeah, I think it was a really interesting thing to see. Sheldon Edwards, I think, is probably the, like, surprise, if anyone expected mm-hmm. that. Sheldon had more threes in this game than Braden or Ben combined, and took less than – and took half the amount of threes that the two of them took, right? So, yeah, I think it's a little crazy to get into that situation. But I think right now we're trying to do anything to win, and I think this game was really a scrappable, winnable game. And it just kind of fell out of our hands, right? What we tied the game up, I think, multiple times in the second half.
Yep.
And I really think our turnovers were limited in the second half, which was great. I just, again, it goes into show that you have to stay consistent. And again, it's not going to be 50% basketball every game. I totally get that. But you can't be 50% in one half and then 36 in the other, right? You got to stay above 40. You got to have that consistency. And then, but overall, we can't be an efficient three-point team if we shoot under 30% in both halves. Yeah. So that's going to be a kryptonite for sure. The free throws were not we've never been tremendously strong in. It's definitely an added bonus. And that's what the free throws are, kind of, right? They're a bonus. I don't have the stats in front of me, but we have been noticing the trend toward missing the front ends of one-on-ones. And that can open up a lot more points, right? You make the first one, you get another bucket. So I think that would be something to see. But, yeah, again, long story short of it is we lose two. I think it's a culmination of little things that really lost us the two. We were able to tie up the game here and there. But, yeah, I think, Buck, the biggest thing for me, and I hope you don't mind me just going into this with the Fordham game, is this game really, for me, solidified a point you've had throughout the season, and we've talked about this, that Fordham had at least two main guards
yeah.
that could control the tempo and control the flow of offense. And then what, I don't know if you call Moore a guard or if he's a power, or I don't know, I forget what he is. But yeah, Quinsenberry and Rose, in my opinion, just controlled the offensive tempo mm-hmm. a lot of the times. And if there's another guy out there, please. But like, it was very prominent to me that guard play, in at least in this season, is huge in the A-10. Like, very, and multiple guard play. Like, mm-hmm. not just one guy, multiple. And very different from the Valley, in my opinion, coming from an A.J. Green, Tucker DeVries kind of scenarios.
Yeah, every single team has three guards that can go create their shot. I mean, yeah, and you're right. Like, maybe Khalid Moore, whatever, is more like a wing or something. But, like, still, the point remains. Like, to have three guys that can go out and, like, really get you 20 points, like, for sure, any night, and can score over bigger forwards, can shoot the ball from the mid-range at all three levels, from three, from layups and mid-range, like, every team has it. And even Fordham, who, like, I mean, we thought were phonies, right? Like, they have that. I mean, I think St. Joe's is a good example. VCU is a great example. Honestly, Dayton is probably the one that doesn't have that, and they have two insanely gifted post players.
Very true. Yeah,
which they're all first team, so that's just like a weird anomaly. But SLU has it, you know, and they're more jump shooting team, but SLU definitely has it. Like, every team has three guard wing players that can just go get 20 points, and we don't, and that's the hard truth. I mean, we got Braden, who, yeah, like, he can give us 20, but usually he's not doing it himself. Like, Phil, he scores in a little bit of a different type of way, but he can go get 20. But after that, you know, like, there, we haven't had a guy this season do that even somewhat consistently. And, yeah, that has been a frustrating part. Or I don't even know if it's frustrating. It's just kind of eye-opening. Like, it's something that, I know, people had maybe talked about. But I thought, oh, well, our game will translate. Like, our players will translate. And it just unfortunately hasn't yet. One kind of thing that possession or series that I wanted to point to for a good reason and then a not great reason was toward the end of the game. We were down 3. And or I think we were actually down 1, and Braden took a 3 that was a pretty good look for him and missed it. And then Fordham went down.
Was it that deep, wide open one?
Yeah, I think so. It was like a minute and a half left.
Yeah, I think I remember that. Yeah.
And then Fordham went down, and I think Moore hit a jumper, maybe like a mid-range, a tough jump shot. But like for him, again, like these type of players, not a tough shot. And then we come back down, and Sheldon hits a step back. Yeah, step back 3, and like the place went nuts. And like that is what he gives us, that sort of different type of player. And, you know, it's like, oh man, like here we go. Like tie game, minute left. Like we got, you know, we got a chance. And then Quisenberry goes down and hits a step back 3 of his own. And it's just, the fluidness
of just, yeah, I think your point there is like also right. Like, I don't think we've relied on Braden, maybe if he and Ad does another shot, oh, it's Edwards, right? Like, I don't think we've had that consistency. But then you look at Fordham, right, and you have Charlton, who I don't even think really was the main scorer of the night, right? It would be more Quisenberry. But he makes the jumper outside the paint.
It was Charlton.
But then next position, yeah, and then the next position, Quisenberry just like, hey, I'm going to chuck this 3. Which it kind of was a chuck 3. Now, again, I think it's a 3 within his range.
Yeah.
But it was still a very deep 3. Again, to that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very tough offensive flow to watch. Mm-hmm. When you're watching one guy who's traditionally hitting the 3 and then another guy just like kind of step back, staggered 3, and it's like, oh shit, it's going in.
It was just nice for once. I felt like we had a guy out on the floor that can go create a shot and hit a tough jump shot, like a tough 3, and Braden can hit him, but those are more often than not, his shots are created from someone else, and he's hitting one off a pass with a hand in his face, not going creating step back, hitting a shot. So it was just like fun to have that guy on the court for a little bit, and for him to actually have success, which is also another big component of it. I've been saying all season I want to see Sheldon, and more of just like I'm curious, and it was nice to see him get out there and hit a couple big shots, even when they matter. Like he had a 3 in the first half, you know, like there was some important shots that happened before the sort of end of game scenarios, but yeah, it just kind of goes along with what you were saying about every team having 3 guards or wings that can create their own shot is just something I think we all kind of underestimated, or at least I know I did.
Yeah, I think, again, Foster, you could say Foster was kind of the big guy, big point guard, right? And Yuri Collins, without a doubt. I think there's something to be said when, and I honestly think St. Joe's is a great, great example of 3 guards that just really can click very well, and that not only against us. They destroyed us at their home.
Duquesne has 3 as well.
Yeah, and Duquesne also, we can say this, destroyed us at their home, yeah. Right? Like, so it's It's a handful of things, but it's something to watch. Now, people might be saying, well, we have guards, right? And it's like, yes, we have guards. But here's the thing, right? We have Braden, who can't do it all by himself, which is nothing against him. It's like, I think Buck said it best. It's like he is amazing off a pass and shoot. He is like probably one of my favorite guys to watch pass and shoot. He'll come off a screen, and you just watch him grab ball, shoot. And it's just in a fluid motion. And I think he is tremendous off catch and shoot. But then it's like Marquise has not been healthy 100% all season. And then Ben and Jalen are freshmen who, yes, the Richmond game, I think they're showed right there. They have a high ceiling and have phenomenal potential. But they have some inconsistencies. Now, do I think they should still play more? Yes. I don't know what Drew's doing with like putting Mero in. I think Jalen should just get more minutes just naturally because we're at this time where I'd rather him get minutes than Wilson. That's just my point, right? Yeah. Like nothing against Wilson saying he doesn't deserve it. It's just like we got two, sadly, potentially only three games left of the season. I'd rather get Wilson in minutes and work on some things, right?
Yeah.
So I think we're there on like the stepping stone of having like three strong guards. Kind of crazy to think, right? Like it's that weird hybrid you expect nowadays in basketball of like, oh, your power forward can be your ball handler as well, right? Like I wouldn't want Phil bring up the ball, but that's what you kind of expect now in the NBA. But like the A-10, in my opinion, is still rooted in like you have three strong guards and you can just have two like big guys again, and it can work. Now again, wait, what was it? St. Joe's, right? Their two big guys were horrendous, but they did the job, right?
Yeah.
They weren't asking more of what they needed to do, but like set horrible screens for the guards. That's all they asked them to do, and they got a few buckets here and there. So it's like, yes, I think we're almost there, but again, we haven't been acquainted with like this. And again, some of these teams are new, and you could argue, but it's like. Still, some of these guys, I think, are at a different level with their guard play than us. And just something, this game kind of really clicked for me. Like, again, tip my cap. I am now, I'm just going to say this early. Quisenberry is easily my first team. I think without his play, this Fordham team does not get near the top end of the conference. So it just, this game really solidified to me how important critical guard play is. And then how aggressive guard play on defensive end as well can help stop them. And when I say that, I mean guys like Ben figuring out how to defend well. And Jalen, who sadly, like again, he gets called for these fouls. And Drew mentioned, right, like you just kind of have to be smarter. And it is so tough. This game was a very tic-tac-ity called game. Yeah, because Jalen fouled out. Phil fouled out. Now, again, we've been accustomed to Phil nearly fouling out, which sucks to say, I'll be honest. But Jalen fouling out, he's just on ball defense, right? And that's just, and again, he only played 18 minutes, so like that will hinder him, right? And that's why you're going to get Mero getting those minutes. So, yeah, it's stuff like that. And again, when I see guys like Jalen and Ben, I know there's so much potential there, and we'll sharpen things up and get it better. It's just like right now we're begging for a win, right? And this game was such a potential game to grab that win from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very close. You know, ultimately, I think. We just dug ourselves a little bit too deep of a hole. I mean, it wasn't much, but you know, you can't rely on your opponents missing those type of last minute threes. You know, if they would have built themselves like a 5-point lead, even, and I think that was totally doable with the type of shots they were getting and the defense they were playing, then you don't find yourself in this position where a last sort of minute three is the difference in the game. So yeah, it just definitely frustrating. I thought they played pretty well, just in general. It was encouraging, definitely some encouraging signs. Something that, like, if they would have maybe won a couple games right after this, you could point to and be like, oh yeah, there were some positive signs here, and this was growth, and blah, blah, blah. But we all know that didn't entirely happen in the next game. So yeah, just to run down some stats here. Yeah, Phil, 19 points, 4 rebounds. Bryce Golden, 13 points. Ben Schreiger and Sheldon Edwards both had 11. And then Jalen had 8. I thought Jalen actually looked pretty good when he was in. You briefly talked about him, but I like that he was going to the hoop. I like to see that. So some good stuff from Jalen as well. But yeah, final score is 71-69. Unless you have any thoughts, we can move on to the next game. But before that, we do want to remind you, you know, if you are planning to go down or go over to Brooklyn to the A10 tournament, then what better to buy than some new Ramblers gear? If you want to outfit yourself in some new mini jerseys gear, they have some sweatshirts, they have some jerseys, t-shirts, which both Lou and I will definitely be rocking at the games. Maybe the ones that we're not covering from the media table, just because we've got to look a little nicer if we're sitting courtside at Barclays. But if you want to get some new gear, I highly suggest the Blurs hoodie. That is my go-to for all the home games. I just think it's great. It's lightweight, and you throw it over anything, and you're ready to go for a Blurs game. So if you need some more gear, head to minijerseys.com. That is minijerseyswithaz.com. So, yeah, we traveled down to St. Louis for our second game against the Billikens this year. As some people have pointed out, we had some recent late-season success in St. Louis, but unfortunately, that did not follow us this time around. We lost this game 81-62. Very similar story from the last game, just a little bit more extreme in our shooting numbers. Very tough first half when it comes to our shooting, our three-point shot. I believe you said, Lou, they only hit 1-3 in the first half. And just tough. It's just not gonna. It's not gonna put you in a good place when you're going up against a solid team, a very good team in SLU. A couple good performances from a couple different players. But all in all, SLU's offensive attack with Yuri dishing out 11 assists and Jimerson with 21 points was just too much to handle for our Ramblers. And we dropped this one. 81-62. I'll start off with some positives. Good to see Braden hit three threes. His first one went down, and just to go from there, or first shot went down of the game, rather. But just for him to hit three threes, see that ball go through the net, that's a big, big mental thing for him, especially after going 0-for in his last two games. So that is very important for him. From what I saw, I wasn't able to watch the full game, but I saw the highlights and I saw some other clips and stuff. I really liked what I saw from Ben offensively. Again, a very tough day from three, but was being crafty and patient on his like drives and like mid post moves, jump shots, layups, like that sort of thing. It's really, really great to see from a freshman player that going 0-for-4 is not going to stop you from playing your game. Right, he still got 12 points. He still had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and a blocked shot. Like, yeah, he had 4 turnovers, which is not good, but it's just great to see that just because he's not hitting threes, it does not stop him from playing a pretty well-rounded game otherwise. So, like to see that. Phil, 15 points, 3 rebounds. On an inefficient game, you know, 4-for-12 from the field. I know they were kind of focusing him on defense, it kind of felt like, and just unfortunate that he couldn't make some more shots. But otherwise, off the bench, Tommy Welch, 11 points, 5-for-7 from the field. Like to see him kind of get to a pick-me-up game. I saw him throw down a dunk, too, so that's always fun. But Lou, I know you watched most of this game and then maybe you didn't, so feel free to talk about that and what went into your decision making there.
Yeah, just a really hard first half to watch, and that's kind of what we dug ourselves again. We've kind of, this has been a common theme, but we dug ourselves in a hole and couldn't get ourselves out. That's just what it is. As you can read from the box score, but just simply, SLU went up 42-26 at the end of the first half. And it was a very, very tough first half to get back from, right? 3-point, yeah, it's great to see Braden got one down, and but that was the only one of the half. Bryce, I don't know, to put up 2 threes in 7 minutes is kind of a little bit crazy for the first half from Bryce, in my opinion. Sadly, Sheldon was over two, and so was Ben. So guys who you'd kind of expect maybe to get knock one down, Couldn't, and that's a huge, huge one there, right? You don't want to be 9% from anything, and that's what we were from three. So, yeah, I think honestly we actually held. It was funny because we did great on Yuri Collins because Yuri Collins was in foul trouble the whole first half. So Yuri Collins only had two assists, and we did really well in controlling him. But as we've been saying in the last episode, last segment, and now with Slew, they got other guards who can score. Mm-hmm. And that guard was Gibson Jimerson, which every time I heard it, I just wanted them to be like, is this Jimmer Fredette or is this not Jimmer Fredette? And I know it's not just the name. His name alone was close. But, yeah, 12 points in the first half and 2 of 3 from three. Not really great to on defensive side, right? Yeah, they only made 42%, but still 42% is a lot better than what we were. And, again, he made 2 of their 5 threes from that first half, as well as guys like Jake Forrester, not afraid to put in the bucket. And honestly, they were really highlighting, but like Larry Hughes Jr., did pretty well. So it was like, there were other guys finding offense against our defense. And I think that's the ultimate, kind of spin on it. Right. They only had 2 turnovers the whole entire first half. So very, very efficient team, which kind of shocked me. I think that was the biggest thing with Yuri Collins off the court. I expected it not to be, kind of as a fluid offense at all. And it very much was. And that kind of was like, oh, wow, this is what the top end of the conference looks like, right? When you can lose your best offensive kind of facilitator and best player, maybe you could say, and still put up 8 assists in the first half, only 2 turnovers, 6 steals, 42% of from field goal, right? So it was a very like, oh, this is a very good SLU team. So I think that's just what we all also went up against. No knock to our guys, but like SLU is the top end of the conference, right? Like that's just when you're playing top heavy teams, like that's what you're going to have to deal with. I think overall, yeah, you brought up a point. I turned off the TV in the second half. Yeah, it was tough. I was actually starting not to feel well on Saturday, and maybe this is the start of it. I don't know what the game plan was from the bigs. As you can see, Tom Welts was pretty efficient, 5 of 7. But Phil, for some reason, the idea of going 4 for 12 was in the theme. I don't know if that was on him or some game plan. I thought he would be quicker than any of their bigs. Now, yeah, Francis Okocor is definitely bigger, right? I'm not going to deny that at all. But I feel like Phil is more athletic than all two of them. And he was. He had a beautiful dunk. And I felt like he could have taken them on the dribble. And I didn't see much of that. I saw a lot of just like forcing shots. And I think because we were down so much in the first half, Phil tried to do everything he could to bring us back. And there just isn't something you can do when you're down that much. And again, shooting 2 of 7 in the first half isn't great. But yeah, I think for me, I really love seeing Tom Welch. It's sad because like when Tom Welch is doing 5 of 7 and 11 points off the bench, you're just hoping that's adding to something.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it was the only kind of efficient, right? That's the really the sad part. It's like, that is exactly the Tom Welch I would love every single game, or at least in an average basis, right? Not even 11 points. If you want to give me 8 points, I'll take it, right? But like 4 of 7, 5 of 7, like those are great offensive numbers off the bench. Maybe a few more rebounds, but like he was filling holes that guys were leaving, right? Phil going 4 of 12, Bryce going 2 of 5, and Jalen didn't even get a bucket in. So just a very interesting possession there. And then lastly, yeah, I think your point, we didn't have that many crazy turnovers. Again, 14 might be a lot, but for us, I'll take it, right? We had a positive assist to turnover ratio, so that's a huge thing for sure. But again, Ben has to just relax. I think his turnovers were more forceful. And again, nothing against – I totally understand what you're saying by his way of kind of contributing. Again, getting 7 rebounds is very, very amazing to get. He still put up 12 points, right? But 3 of his 4 turnovers were all in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we were trying to do in the first half is also like push it and rush things. And it's like if we're trying to get ahead of ourselves, like walk before we can, or run before we can walk, whatever the famous phrase is, whatever, we're just going to just dig ourselves still. And I think that's what we did sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, ultimately, a very competitive team in SLU. Tip your caps. But a very, again, the game was within 20-point leads. It never moved away from a 15 or 20-point lead. I think we did get it within 11 at one point, and then I think they just kept coming back, right? Or kept taking the lead longer. So, yeah, overall a tough one to watch. But, yeah, they're top of the conference, right? They're battling for that top four, that double bye. And so this is what you kind of expect when you have guys who Yuri Collins sits out the entire pretty much first half and then still is able to put up 11 assists and can facilitate so many fast break points. I didn't mention it, but Buck, that second half had so many fast break points, I didn't know if we knew how to get back on defense. I was actually concerned that we weren't playing defense for a little bit. But, yeah, tough one. Again, not only was it tough because it was SLU, but, again, hey, this rivalry I think will be something. Don't joke if people are like, oh, it's not really a rivalry if you're getting blown out. I think we're going to be there. I think we're definitely going to battle, and it's going to be something. Again, Rome wasn't built in the day, so I wouldn't expect anyone to think that this was going to be a magic first season in the A-10. I definitely think it's disappointing, but I think there's a lot of things we can work on and change.
Yeah, I do. I think there's things to take away, things to work on, things to get better at, but also promising things as well. Yuri, there's something you mentioned, though, too, that I think kind of like stuck out to me is, you mentioned, why is Wilson getting minutes? And I can argue, why is Bryce Golding getting minutes, too, at this point? Especially, you mentioned, two threes in, 7 minutes or whatever. And it's just like, dude, is that really part of our offense? Is that a shot that our coaches want us to be taking? I guess they don't really have the answer to that. But another thing that kind of just stuck out, or I don't know, made me think, was Sheldon again getting 10 minutes. I really wish he was just getting 10 minutes the whole season. I especially kind of earlier on, I understand that it was defense and that he, couldn't be on the court because his defense just wasn't there yet. But, you see it now, and yeah, he didn't even have any points, but 3 assists, get some minutes, maybe get those jitters out. And if this would have happened earlier in the season, it just is kind of surprising to me with our sometimes seemingly lack of individual scoring or going out and creating your own shot. I just think that it might have been advantageous to see him get some more run earlier in the season. He kind of might not be around. We just don't know with everything going on after the season. So happy to see him to get some minutes. I mean, I genuinely believe he is a guy that could go win you a game in Brooklyn. I know that's a big statement, but if he plays 25 minutes, he could go off for 25, 30 points. So I just think kind of getting him a little steady here and there, 10, 15 minutes his next couple games, and then throwing him out there kind of early in the Brooklyn game, just let him shoot a couple times, see what happens. If he hits a couple early threes, freaking let him get some run out there, man. Let him cook. I mean, I know we joke about it on Twitter, but I mean it's real. I mean that's the type of player he is. So I don't know. I'm happy to see him getting some time now, and I hope that they believe that he could make a difference. I hope they're not just throwing him out there to throw him out there, which I don't think they are, because we've kind of seen throughout the whole season that they don't just throw players out there for just for fun. So that's just something that kind of stuck out to me and made me think.
Think that's a very valid kind of area. I think it's tough maybe with Jaden Dawson being out and then also losing a player in Saint. Those are two guys who were kind of playing significant minutes in the beginning, and then things changed. So yeah, I agree with you. I don't think Drew has been that type of guy just to throw a player out there for the sake of it. Do I disagree with guys getting maybe minutes? Yeah, I don't think – I don't know. I think Huddy should be playing more. Obviously. I think this is a huge disappointment. Now, again, if we don't see practice, right? So you and I couldn't say, oh, Sheldon is not defending in practice.
Sure. Right.
And if he wasn't, right, I totally agree with the mentality of what you practice is how you play. I get that. That's how some coaches are. So if Huddy is not doing something that we just don't see in practice, I get it. Now, again, in the game, though, I feel like there are times where it's like, feel like there should be another option, right? We don't know, and I totally get it that we will never know unless, Drew, if you're listening, which I don't know if you are, but if you want to DM us, and we'll kind of cryptically mention how you do your offense. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of things at play here. We got two games left. I think we should finish strong. I don't think we will roll over. But yeah, the next week, because as we're recording this, next week actually will be the week of the tournament. I think there could be something to be said if we go on a run here of two games and then take that mentality to the conference tournament.
Yeah, I mean, either way, like I think if we can win two more games this season, I would be happy. However that works itself out, I'd love to be able to see two more wins, one way or the other, finish strong here, and get a couple wins, and feel good going to the tournament, or you know, win one here, win one in the tournament. Like I think that's realistic too with who we play, and just kind of the vibe of the team right now. Kind of funny enough, each of us are going to be able to see one more Loyola Ramblers game in person, but it won't be together. I'm traveling out to Delaware. Actually, as we record this, it's tomorrow that I'll be traveling out to cover the women's basketball tournament, A-10 tournament. And then, Lou, you'll be at the senior night. So, you know, scream for two, cry for two. I don't know if there's too many tears to cry unless they're celebrating more than Wilson and Golden, but those guys still deserve to be celebrated. So you'll be there. I'll be at the LaSalle game. You know, there was actually some discussion with a little group chat with some of the other Loyola fans, and the one of the other podcast accounts is going to be out and watching the game, which is just kind of like a funny coincidence. And we kind of talking, Blairs and us were joking, like, we should do a crossover episode. And it just so turns out that we have seats right in front of, I think theirs are like right in front of mine or something like that. I don't know if that's going to happen. So don't hold us to that. But, it was just kind of funny that it worked out, and we'll have a little bit of a posse, I suppose, in Philadelphia for the last regular season game. So Lou, I don't know, what else you got? Any last thoughts or anything we didn't get to talk about yet?
Just finish strong. That's all I hope.
Yeah, me too. It'd be, like I said, nice to get a couple more wins here. Anything can happen once you get to the tournament. You know, you're 0-0. It's a new season. So, it's been a tough kind of end here so far to the year, but if we can finish strong, it might give us some good vibes going over to Brooklyn. So, I think that is going to do it here from Buck and Lewitt Podcast 63. There will be some coverage of the women's basketball tournament, so look out for that. I have an article that I'm posting probably tonight, maybe tomorrow. As sort of like a recap of the women's season, or at least like an ending, ending chapter to their season. So I think it's pretty interesting to take a read if you are up to it. But that's going to do it here from Podcast 63. Thank you all for listening. And don't forget, always remember, go Blairs.